Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3, a very familiar story, I'm sure, to all of us. So this week, we will be traveling. We have our next meeting is actually in Walden, Colorado, by way of Benton, Arkansas. So we've got a few miles to go. So do pray for us as we will be traveling. And I know that you will, and we appreciate those prayers. We truly do. And we appreciate it. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 1. And we're going to go ahead and read down through verse 7. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the day that we have had together today. We thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for dinner this afternoon. And we ask you, Lord, now to bless this time as we open your word and as we look into it. I pray for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this evening. May you guide and direct and bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you see here what King Nebuchadnezzar has done. And we know that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have come into the kingdom here, and they have been a part of the kingdom. And Daniel, as we know in chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego purposed that as well. And Daniel isn't mentioned here in chapter 3, but the other men are. And they are gathered together in this plain of Dura, probably thousands of people gathered together. Probably no masks and no COVID. But they're gathered together there. And they were commanded to bow to this image. And for just a few minutes tonight, we want to talk on the subject on faith that will see you through a fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they stood facing this statue, they knew in their heart that they could not bow to that image. They knew the command of God that God had given back in Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 4, where God commanded to Israel, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And so they knew God's command. We need a faith that knows God's command.
Amen.
A faith that we have, that we know that we can stand on His word.
Amen.
The commands upon which we know we can stand, and even the promises of God, that we know that when God says something, that God will accomplish that which He has promised. And we need a faith that will stand firm on the commands and the promises that God has given to us throughout His word. And we talked about some of those commands already today in the message this morning. We talked about the command of how we need to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And the command that we see in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, observing, teaching them and baptizing them. And we need to go forth to teach and to train and to baptize and to establish churches and to establish people who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a command that God has given to us, not just around the world, but right here where we're at, as we talked about this morning. We also have the command to be holy, to live a holy life, as God commanded Israel to be holy. And as God says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are commanded to be a holy people, separated. We are not to be of the world. And we live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We need to be holy. Along with that, we need to come out from the world and to be separate. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And we have the command there to be separate, to come out. That means that we are not to be like the world.
Right.
We should be different. We should be separate. We should be a peculiar people. Why? Because we are a people set apart for God,
yes,
holy and separated unto Him.
Amen.
And we are to be holy and separate. Not because of what we are or who we are, but because of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And because of His work in our lives, we can be holy and separate. And we need a faith that will know the commands of God and that will obey the commands of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love the Lord? We need to obey the commands that He has given to us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they loved the Lord and they were willing to obey the commands that God had given to them. We need a faith that will obey and know the commands that God has given to us. And if you were to turn back to Daniel chapter 3, and we need a faith to stand when we need to stand. You know, we live in a troublesome time. This morning we talked about the darkness and the gross darkness of the world because of sin. But, you know, really we live in very troublesome times, especially as Christians. And there's, at any time, persecution could come.
Yeah.
And we need to be ready for that time when that persecution will come. And when persecution came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, they were willing to stand. Look, the king had told them In verse number 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. They knew the consequence for taking the stand that they were going to take. For him, are we willing to take a stand for Christ? And I believe there's coming a time, even it's drawing closer and closer, that we are going to have to take a stand for him. As a church, individually taking a stand, and possibly even going to prison for taking that stand. And I believe that those times are coming. And I don't want to scare anyone. I just want you to know that is the times in which we are living. But to have the faith that will take that stand and be willing to stand. As I thought about this message and I thought of ones who did not stand, I thought of Judas Iscariot. He walked with Jesus for 3 years and he never once was willing to take the stand to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think of Demas. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul writes, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Yeah. Demas's heart had been in the right place, but Demas's heart changed, and his eyes got onto the possessions of this world, and Demas forsook Jesus Christ. He forsook God. He forsook Paul. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Because he loved the things of this world. And there's nothing wrong with having possessions. There's nothing wrong with having, you know, the things that we have. But where's our heart? Where's our heart? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we need to not be like Demas. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like Judas Iscariot and you have been in church and you have been where to hear the gospel and you have heard it, but maybe you've never accepted it. Then accept it tonight. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you're beginning to think of the things of the world and beginning to be drawn by those possessions of the world. Realize tonight that they will not bring you the joy and satisfaction that Jesus Christ will bring to you. And think of those who did stand. Think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think of David as he stood against Goliath. Goliath, who had badmouthed his God and had said all kinds of things about God, and David stood and with a slingshot and a stone slew that giant. He was willing to stand. How about you and I tonight? Are we willing to stand? Stephen, one of the deacons of the church, as we know, he was stoned. But Stephen preached the gospel, and afterwards he was stoned. He was willing to stand and do what God had for him to do. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were willing to stand. They knew the consequence. They knew what would happen to them, but they stood. How about us tonight? We need to have a faith that knows the commands of God. We need to have a faith that will take a stand. And thirdly, we need to have a faith that will go through the fire. Look with me at Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 through 23. Chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know, there are times when God calls us to go through the fire. And it's never easy to go through difficult and troublesome times. But it's as we go through those times that God gets rid of that dross. Yeah. God gets rid of things in our lives that will eventually allow us to be drawn closer to Him. And oftentimes we rebel against those times, but we need to submit to God and to allow His will to be accomplished in our lives, even if it does cause pain and suffering, so that we can be drawn closer to Him. We cannot just always live on the mountain top. We need to be down in that valley where we're trusting God and we're looking to God and we're asking God moment by moment to walk with us. And as we do that, God will be with us. And though we go through that fire and we get cast into those times of struggles and difficulties, God will be there with us. As we see, fourthly, we need a faith in a God who is with us in the midst of that fire. Look with me at verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men, and notice this, they're loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And we need to have a faith in God who will be in the midst of the fire with us. No matter what you're going through, God is right there with each and every one of you. In each and every step that you take, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And remember that He is always there. He will always provide for you. And there are some difficult times that we go through. Sometimes we don't understand why we go through things that we go through. But yet, God is always there with us. And He's there in the midst of that fire with you right now. And if you're there and you're in the midst of that fire, just hold on because God is with you. Have faith in a God who will see you in the midst of the fire. And have a faith in God. Lastly tonight, have a faith in God who will bring us out of the fire. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And notice a change that even came over Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut up in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You know, when others see you go through that fire, and when they see you come out, they can then see God in you. But we need the faith. It all begins with faith. Being willing to follow God anywhere He leads. And sometimes that's in the deepest, darkest valley. But God is there every step of the way with us. not to destroy us, but to deliver us and to bring us out so that others can see his work in us. And you know, as 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us in verse 14, that one day that trumpet's going to sound and we will be taken out of this world. We will be delivered from this world. Whether that's by physical death or the rapture, we will be delivered. We have the promise of deliverance and look forward to that day. But I want to ask you tonight, how's your faith? We as a church are taking a step of faith to give faith promise. And it's a blessing for us to be able to actually be here and to be able to physically give in our faith promise commitment. Usually we're not here, but it's a blessing to be able to do that corporately as a church body. It's a blessing to be a part of that. And yes, we as missionaries are giving to missions, and it's a blessing for us to do so. But sometimes God calls us to do something, and it seems awful hard. We don't see. We always see is the edge. We don't see the bottom. And it looks deep. It looks dark. It looks scary. But sometimes we just have to take that step of faith, knowing that God is there to help us along the way. And I know that many have already turned their commitments in, and I thank you as a church, from a missionary's perspective, I thank you for your faithfulness to missions and to missionaries, because we cannot do what we do without a church and without churches. And so we thank you for your part. You might think, well, my part's not very much, but little is much when God is in it. And God takes all that we give and he advances it for his kingdom. And I want to encourage you tonight to take that step of faith, whatever it may be, whether it's to increase your faith promise or to begin to teach a Sunday school class, whatever it is, or to witness to your coworkers. Take that step of faith, knowing that you have a God that is there with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the many examples that we have from your word. And Lord, we ask you to guide and direct and to bless, and we thank you as a church for what we've already done and committed in the faith promise offering. And Lord, we ask you to bless it and to use it. And Lord, in the matter of faith, I pray that you'd help us to be willing to take that step of faith, no matter what the cost may be or the consequence may be, and help us to do what you would have us to do. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.